from the Left Forum in New York City towards a new strategy for the left was the theme of the conference. Jane Sanders, founder of the Sanders Institute, political scientist, former president of Goddard and Burlington Colleges, and confidant and advisor to Bernie Sanders, spoke at the Left Forum on June 1, 2018. The opening plenary, A Broken System, How We Got Here. She began by apologizing for her cold and for reading comments rather than speaking extemporaneously. She thanks the audience for standing up for democracy and participating in the political process, and the Left Forum for helping serious people get serious ideas out to the public. Jane Sanders.
During Bernie's 2016 presidential campaign, he stated over and over again that our future, the future of our country, was dependent on our willingness to make a political revolution. His mantra, not me, us, was a recognition that real change never takes place from the top on down. It always happens from the bottom on up. No real change in American history, as all of you know, not the labor movement, not the women's movement, not the gay rights movement, or the environmental movement, or any other movement, has ever happened without grassroots activism, without millions of people engaged in the struggle for justice. The work that all of you and other progressives have been doing over decades, constantly, is what has moved us forward. At a time of massive and growing income and wealth inequality, when our nation moves closer and closer to an oligarchic form of government, we need an unprecedented grassroots political movement to stand up for the many, not just for the few. The good news is that we're making significant progress, despite what you may see or read in the mainstream media. On issue after issue, the American people are moving toward a progressive agenda. We are winning the ideological battle. Despite a mainstream media obsessed with AT, all Trump, all the time, it is important to remind ourselves that ideas that seemed radical only a few years ago are now supported by a strong majority of the people. There's overwhelming support for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, pay equity for women, Medicare for all, and progressive tax reform. There is overwhelming agreement that we have to pass comprehensive criminal justice reform and immigration reform. 80% of the people support DACA, and a strong majority, support a path towards citizenship. There is overwhelming agreement that we have to address the climate change crisis. These are no longer left ideas. They can't be dismissed any longer. Given all that, you may ask why we have a president, a Congress, state legislatures, governors, and mayor's seats held by a large extent by the Republicans. In my view, that has a lot to do with the failure of the Democratic Party to open its doors to progressive people and progressive ideas. It also has to do with the power of money in the party, in both parties. The establishment members of the Democratic Party believe they have to move to the right to attract Republicans. Their consultants tell them that it's the only way to win elections. They figure the traditional base and the progressive base will have nowhere to go. Given the abysmal turnout in recent elections, they don't seem to realize that the better option might be to reach out to the people who have dropped out of our democracy because it doesn't make any sense to vote in their lives. It doesn't make any difference. In my view, the Democratic Party has to become a progressive party. If it does not, if it is unwilling to absorb the needs of working people, the idealism of young people, to turn away from the corporate profit motives of their large donors, to actually talk with and listen to the people around this country from different backgrounds, there will be a continued loss of faith in the electoral process, and there will be a third party. Now, I know a lot of people here are members of third parties or independents and or members of DSA. I'm an independent myself. Having said that, I'm going to ask you to consider doing something that you might not agree with, that seems a bit off, but I think it deserves some thought at this point in time. Consider registering to vote in the Democratic primary. I knew that would be the answer. That would be some, but consider it, not just in New York, but in all states. Let me tell you why. These are the qualifying rounds. If you don't vote in the primaries of the two major parties that exist at this point, the sad reality is that in the general election in the United States, as usual, you will be left with two establishment choices with center to right-wing ideologies. If progressives are running in the primaries in your states, we need to be there to support them and move the party in a progressive direction. The first primary I voted in was to support Jesse Jackson because I believed he would make a difference. Believe me, I know what I'm asking. Let me tell you why. In my view, we're living in an unprecedented and pivotal moment in American history. On one side, there is the Donald Trump vision for America, a vision congressional Republicans have been complicit in, given their silence. On the other side, there's a progressive vision for the future of our country, a vision we all share. In the middle are the establishment politicians. As you probably recall, Donald Trump campaigned on draining the swamp, on getting special interests out of government. Yet he has brought more billionaires and Wall Street executives into the administration than any other president in the history of our country. Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg talked about an American government of the people, for the people, and by the people. I think it's fair to say that Donald Trump, more than any president in history, has created a government of the wealthy, by the wealthy, and for the wealthy. As a candidate, Trump said that he would stand with working people and the forgotten American. That got him a lot of votes. People believed him. As president, his legislative agenda has been one vicious attack after another against the needs of working families. During his campaign, he promised to provide health care for everybody. As president, he supported legislation that would have thrown 32 million Americans off of health care. His budget included a $1 trillion cut to Medicaid, a $500 billion cut to Medicare, billions in cuts to the Social Disability Fund, and massive cuts to education, nutrition, and affordable housing, including a Trump budget which proposed massive cuts to education and environmental protection. But it's not just his reactionary agenda that concerns me. President Trump has made clear his support and affection for authoritarian regimes. And most dangerously, we have a president who is actively trying to divide this nation up based on the color of our skin, our gender, the country we were born in, our religion, or our sexual orientation. We cannot have a just society and a strong democracy with this kind of leadership, and we cannot allow the complicity of the Republican Party to go unchallenged. The Republican members of the House and Senate are going along with the president's unethical, racist behavior because they agree with his economic, regulatory, and social policies. Some will decry him when they go back home to their districts, but they do nothing to stop him in D.C. The move toward oligarchy in our country not only impacts our politics, it impacts our economy and the standard of living of working people. The current level of income and wealth inequality in this country is immoral and is causing massive suffering for the working families of our country. Today, the three wealthiest people in America own more wealth than the bottom 50%, over 160 million people. According to Time magazine, from January 1st through May 1st of this year, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, saw his wealth increase by $275 million every single day. Meanwhile, thousands of Amazon employees are forced to rely on food stamps, Medicaid, and public housing because their wages are just too low. We all know that that is replicated by the Walton family at Walmart as well. And when we talk about wealth inequality, let us keep in mind that the wealth gap between white Americans and African Americans has more than tripled over the last 50 years. Today, the median white family has almost 10 times as much wealth as the median black family. The American vision for the future, our vision, must be to create a government and an economy that works for us all, not just a handful of billionaires. To do that, we must have the courage to confront this oligarchy and restore power to the many, not the few. Our vision, the vision of the progressive community, is just a little bit different than that of Trump and his colleagues. Instead of oligarchy and authoritarianism, we believe in a vibrant democracy. What does that mean? It means that instead of giving over $1 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1% and large profitable corporations, we must demand Congress act to ensure that Wall Street, the billionaire class, and large profitable corporations start paying their fair share in taxes. At a time when governments all over the world are imposing austerity measures on their people, the wealthiest people and the most profitable corporations in the world are stashing at least $21 trillion in offshore tax havens and avoiding their tax responsibilities. We need not only national legislation, but international cooperation to end this tragedy. We need to stop imprisoning people for smoking marijuana and making it, and for being poor and not being able to afford cash bail. We live in an unprecedented moment in American history, and we need an unprecedented response. Together, black, white, Latino, Native American, Asian American, women, men, gay, straight, young, and old, we must not allow Donald Trump or anyone else to divide us up.
You're listening to political scientist and activist Jane Sanders. She's addressing the Left Forum's opening plenary in New York City on June 1st, 2018, on the need for the Democratic Party to become a progressive party, and she advocates for the left to register to vote as Democrats in upcoming primaries to counter the move towards oligarchy across the U.S.
The simple fact is that in the United States today, we have a very small number of people who exercise extraordinary power over our economic, political, and social life. Make no mistake about it, the oligarchy in this country is destroying our vision of America and is moving us toward a government that represents their interests, not the other 99%. And that is a direction we must oppose with every fiber of our being. People in every region of our country are standing up and fighting back against the dishonest and reactionary president in the history of our country. In state after state, they're taking on establishment politicians who are more concerned about protecting their wealthy campaign donors than the needs of the middle class and working people they are supposed to represent. We're making progress when millions of people in every state in the country take to the streets for the Women's March in opposition to Trump's reactionary agenda. We're making progress when an unprecedented grassroots movement elects a young African American as mayor of Birmingham, Alabama. We're making progress when tens of thousands of Americans turn out in rallies and town meetings to successfully oppose the Republican efforts to throw 30 million people off of health insurance. We're making progress when governors and local officials announce in response to student demands tuition-free public colleges and universities. We're making progress when in 2017, hundreds of first-time candidates from every conceivable background run for school board, city council, state legislature, and other local offices, and many of them win. The good news is that the American people are far more united than the media allows us to believe. They get it. They know that over the last 40 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, the middle class has continued to shrink while the very rich have become much richer. They know that without action, for the first time in the modern history of the United States, our kids will likely have a lower standard of living than their parents. Our job, for the sake of our kids and grandchildren, is to bring our people together around a progressive agenda. Today, what the American people want is not what they are getting. In fact, under Republican leadership in the House, Senate, and White House, they are getting exactly the opposite of what they want. The American people want a government which represents all of us. Instead, they're getting a government which represents the interests and extremist ideology of wealthy campaign contributors. They want a nation in which all people are treated with dignity and respect, and where we continue our decades-long struggle to end discrimination based on race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or nation of origin. Instead, they have a president who seeks to win political support, appealing to those very prejudices. Over the last few years, I've traveled, sometimes with Bernie and sometimes by myself, to every region of this country, and I've learned a lot. I've seen the beauty, strength, and courage of our people. I've also seen the fear and the despair. I've talked to people with serious illnesses in West Virginia who worry about what will happen to them and their families if they lose their health insurance. I've talked to immigrants in Arizona who live in fear every day that they or members of their family will be deported from the only country they have ever known. I've talked to retirees and older workers in Kansas who are outraged that as a result of congressional legislation, they could lose up to 60% of the pensions they were promised. I've talked to workers right here in New York who, as a result of gentrification, are no longer able to live in the neighborhoods they grew up in. I've talked to family members around the country who've lost loved ones to the opioid and heroin epidemic. In school, we teach our children to understand and appreciate the sacrifices that veterans made in defending our way of life. But we spend too little time explaining to them what we mean by way of life. Getting back to Gettysburg, Abraham Lincoln in November 1863, soon after that terrible battle that claimed tens of thousands of casualties, reminded our citizens what that way of life was and what our enduring responsibility in a democratic society is. We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Creating a nation that works for all. This was worth fighting for in 1863. It's still worth fighting for today. Maintaining a vibrant democracy based on principles of justice has never been easy. And as much progress as we make, we have never achieved that vision. In these dangerous and somewhat unprecedented times, it may seem more difficult than ever, but we have to keep fighting. More and more mainstream political coverage is devoted to gossip, issues of personality and the latest scandals, and less to the major problems facing our country and the world. There's almost no discussion devoted to climate change. There's no discussion on a number of issues. This conference is about some of what all of us have been trying to accomplish over the last several years. Much of it is outside the Beltway with this group, and what's happening inside the Beltway is not really worth talking about. We must create a vibrant democracy where the voices of all people are heard. We must create a vision which leads the world in the struggle for peace. The future requires a number of efforts, so let me close with talking a little bit about the future. The current campaign finance system allows billionaires to buy elections. We need to overturn Citizens United and bring about public funding of elections. Until we have the votes in Congress to do so, remind everyone you know that those incredibly negative television ads, emails, and mailings are paid for by the Koch brothers or some other billionaire who's trying to block progressives from winning, and encourage them to speak out loudly in support of issue-oriented debates and civil discourse. Let the media and the candidates know that doing otherwise will cost them their viewership and their elections. The disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision is undermining American democracy. Today, we have the Koch brothers and a few of their billionaire friends planning to spend up to $400 million in support of candidates who protect the wealthy and the powerful. We have Sheldon Adelson, who just announced $30 million to prop up the Republican effort to maintain control of the U.S. Congress. In campaign after campaign, all across this country, we have super PACs funded by billionaires competing with other super PACs funded by other billionaires to determine congressional representation. And we have big money interests who are pushing voter suppression efforts all over the country to deny people of color, older people, poor people, young people, the right to participate in the political process. If we are serious about our desire to maintain representative government in this country, one person, one vote, we have to address that. A major focus of our attention has to be raising voter turnout. A significant increase in younger voters is especially important, as younger voters are far more progressive than the general population. No generation is less bigoted, less homophobic. An increase in low-income voters and people of color. And I believe progressive voters need to change their strategy and vote in much greater numbers in the primaries. We have one of the lowest voter turnouts, designed quite intentionally to protect the status quo. We've heard a lot about Republican governors and legislatures working overtime to suppress the vote, making it harder to vote, but we need to recognize it's not a one-party problem. In the last midterm election in 2014, only 37% of the eligible voters voted. 80% of young people and low-income people didn't vote. Millions of people across the spectrum have given up on the political process. What can you do? The Sanders Institute has created a series of videos that address voter issues with specific steps. I won't go into them all here now, but every individual can make a difference. Most importantly, learn about your particular state's regulations. Speak out about those that need to change. We're New York, one of the worst offenders in terms of voter suppression. 3 million people were unable to vote in the Democratic primary in the presidential election in 2016 because they failed to register as Democrats in October of 2015, 6 months before the election. Band together and fight to change that. We need to get more people involved, break down the fears of newcomers about running for office. Progressives should not concede any state in this country. Bernie has been to 28 states since the presidential election, and it's clear that the American people are very dissatisfied with the status quo. And there are signs that are obvious. In Pittsburgh, two women, members of DSA, won landslide victories against incumbents. <clears throat> 500 volunteers certainly helped make the difference. Finally, we need to be creative. I've always believed that if we approach problems by finding out why people want what they want, we can find more common ground and be able to creatively address those differences. The effort by Sean King and Real Justice to elect district attorneys who want to fight for criminal justice is one example of that. Larry Krasner, the new DA in Philadelphia, now requires his DAs to provide a breakdown of the costs associated with sending offenders to prison. He's saving lives, saving taxpayers money, and educating citizens about the impact of such high levels of incarceration. Even conservatives like what he's doing. That's creative. There are many, many other examples. They are efforts that many of you are involved in. Share those stories. Thank you.
You've been listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018, political scientist Jane Sanders at the opening plenary, A Broken System, How We Got Here. This program was produced by Killian Sunderman and Linda Perry of WBAI and Pacifica Radio in New York, with music by Ras Moshe Burnett and Althea Sully Cole. Thanks for listening.